Hi, I'm Manos. This is Maria, founders and directors of the EV Real Estate Group, and welcome to On the Couch with
Manos and Maria.
That's it.
So this is where we go behind the scenes to uncover what makes entrepreneurs and industry providers, business owners, tick, and also what they think of the future in real estate.
We're really looking forward to sharing all the inside stories of what it actually takes to run a really successful business, whether you're starting out, whether you're thinking about starting your own business, whether you're currently running a real estate agency, and how you can obviously make it better. So, hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to another episode of On the Couch with M&M.
Today, we've got a special guest, Mr. Jeff White, former REIV president, now state director of CoreLogic for Victoria and Tasmania. Welcome to the episode, to the show, Jeff.
Thank you, M&M.
Yes.
Thank you.
We fumble through it every now and then, but it's all good.
Yes. M&M hasn't sued us for using their names.
It's good. Not to do with chocolate. But thanks for joining us today. And we're going to be talking about a few topics today. And one of my favorite topics is always talking about numbers. Yes. I couldn't have thought of a better person to come along from CoreLogic, obviously focusing on numbers and big data and all that. But I thought we'd actually start with, obviously, just tell us a bit about yourself and the history in real estate.
Yes. I'm a fifth generation agent, so great-grandfather, 1888.
Oh, wow, I never knew that.
So it goes back a bit. So
1888,
yes.
Wow.
And so an estate agent, licensed estate agent, auctioneer, and had obviously our own business and been CEO of a franchise group in Victoria and so on and so forth. And as well as my involvement with the Real Estate Institute of Victoria for a long time, and now at CoreLogic, who are an integral company that the industry is associated with, primarily on data and analytics. So, yes, I've been around, so to speak.
So which part? So obviously, throughout your career, you've had different roles within the real estate industry. Which one was it that you enjoyed the most?
I think it was at a time when real estate franchising started to take place in Victoria, and I was associated with a company called Wilson Pride and was their CEO for a period of time. And there was a real growth spurt of offices, particularly in the Bayside area at the time. And
that's right.
And that was an exciting time working with a mad bunch of guys, but terrific guys.
That was
in
the 80s, early 90s?
Late 90s, early 2000s.
That's right.
So that was an exciting time. And I look back on those times very fondly. Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, and speaking of real estate, I mean, you've been in the industry for so long. What's been the most significant change you've seen in the real estate space in your lifetime?
I think it's the obligation of the estate agent to deal with the buyer in a totally different way to what they did years ago.
Yes.
When I started in the industry, which is about 30 years ago, you'd turn up to an auction and you'd provide the buyer with a brochure and say, that's it, turn up on the day of the auction. Whilst the internet's there and there's a lot of data available on the internet, the obligation is now on the estate agent to provide some information to that buyer to assist them. So whilst they get remunerated primarily by the vendor in that situation, but there's a certain obligation to provide data.
And
people analyse the data.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think that's a significant change that's happened over the course of time.
But by helping the purchaser, you're actually helping your vendor.
Correct.
By giving them all the right information, actually helping them purchase, you're helping your vendor in effect. So it is the right thing to do. But you're right. I do remember when I first started, and that's only 16 years ago. That's when I got into real estate. Even then, they used to say, oh, don't worry about the buyers. Just focus on listing properties and the buyers will come.
That's right.
But, you know, the buyer is a vendor or will be a vendor later, and the vendor could be a buyer. So it's people.
Buyer is the seller and the seller is the buyer.
People. It's just that we're there to do the right thing by everybody and make sure we provide really good value so you can put, you know, a deal together.
Yeah, and future business with both parties as well.
Exactly.
So, that's definitely.
Yeah, you're right. That's
And there's probably something that's been a bit slow to catch on now, and we're seeing it in the property management division, is like the treatment of tenants out there in the real estate space is there's a new wave of a customer server that's coming about that really people are focusing on the tenant and they're not just the tenant who's coming in for an application and going through the numbers. So I guess that shift is going to happen in that property management.
It's the same thing, isn't it? It's exactly the tenant the could be thing. A landlord, and we see a lot of new young people these days. They want to live in an area they can't afford to purchase, but they might have an investment property in an area. So, you know, there's a lot of that happening. So again, the landlord can be a tenant and a tenant can be a landlord.
A good tenant is great for the landlord and the agent.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that as well, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if there is a good tenant that comes in, well, if not suited to that property, you want to find them another one. So
So the level of service has increased.
Correct.
In our industry, in all areas.
That's right. Yeah.
Compared to what it used to be.
And with all of that is the way that we market properties, and obviously again the internet and online has assisted with that as well. So there's significant changes, and I think estate agents have had to be a little bit more open to change and to deal with those changes.
Yeah.
And that's the change that we have from May the 1st.
Transparency, and speaking of which, so let's talk about the new Victorian underquoting laws, because I know every state is going through their challenges with how to price and display price and information provided to buyers and to their vendors. So the new underquoting legislation and laws around advertising, how do you see that impacting the industry?
Well, I think it's going to be a change for some, and I think others will just see it as a natural progression.
Yeah.
It's clear that there needed to be more transparency between what an estate agent says to a vendor at the time of listing and then what they say to a buyer or a potential buyer during the course of marketing.
Yep.
And that transparency will come about as a result of this legislation. Some will say that it doesn't go far enough in terms of the underquoting that has been discovered in Victoria, and others say it will have a great effect on it. So time will tell as far as that's concerned, but what it does actually mean that the estate agent needs to be very transparent, and I'll use that word again, between what they say to the vendor and the buyer, and I think that can only be a good thing.
Certainly. We obviously spoke about off camera, it's really only a very small percentage, 1-2% of the real estate agency market that really isn't embellishing the underquoting. That system, which really wasn't good for the industry at whole.
Right.
So 98% of the agents out there were still doing the right thing.
Yes,
they're following great best practice. So really, these changes, as far as we're concerned, is probably just a natural progression. When we saw the changes, that this is similar to what we're already doing as best practice.
Yes.
So
we already were providing the three comparable sales. Now, obviously, they have to be out there on the internet. But do you know what? It's like these days, we're not the gatekeepers of information anymore like we used to be, even 16 years ago when I first started. So a purchaser has the ability to go on the internet, research prices in the area, go on ARPI data. The purchaser can go on ARPI data.
Yes.
You don't have to be an agency. They can buy a small, I don't know, it's $10 or something. They can go and do a lot of research in the area. So It's all that data is out there for the purchasers and the vendors already anyway.
That's right.
By not doing the right thing, I think we as agents look like fools. You know, it's not even.
It comes back to it comes back to what the buyer is actually looking for from the estate agent.
Yeah.
And now they're actually, whilst they can go onto the internet, they're actually looking for that agent to also assist them in the process.
Mm.
And this legislation through the information statement that an agent has now got to supply will assist that buyer as much as anybody. The other part of it is the way that properties have been priced when they're onto the market.
Advertised price.
Gone are the days where you can just put plus or
offers over
or those sorts of things. And that again provides a little bit more certainty. So you can have still a range, depending on how your instructions are from the vendor, but you can still have a range or an actual price or no price if you wanted to. So
that's right.
So there's still options
available. But even if you have no price, when someone rings you to ask you, well, what do you think?
You still have to follow
you have to actually you give them an answer. So so we keep talking about the buyers and the buyers and the buyers. It's all going to be more transparent. Do you think this is going to have any detrimental effect to the, is it going to be detrimental to our vendors in any way?
I don't think so.
Because at the end of the day, we're working for our vendors. Correct. And I agree with you, I don't think so, but I want to hear,
I can't see where it's actually going to impact the vendor other than to, you know, potentially make buyers a little bit more comfortable in treating on that property. Previously, if a buyer was told some information that perhaps, you know, may not have been as accurate, they might have been attending opens and auctions and with a view to potentially buying, but really, at the end of the day, it was out of their price range.
Exactly.
This way, I think you'll see by the time auctions actually take place, you'll have people knowing full well exactly where that property is more than likely to be. Save and except if there's some competition that takes it beyond everyone's expectations.
Which is what's been happening over the last...
That's right.
You know,
in the Melbourne and obviously the Sydney market, without a doubt. Maybe not throughout Australia, but certainly in our markets where there's strong competition again.
Yeah.
But I think this legislation is certainly going to bring to the fore the skill set of an agent.
Correct.
Mm. The skill set of the agent is there to negotiate. That's what we're engaged to do. We're there to present the property, market the property correctly, expose it to the maximum amount of buyers and extract that information
100%.
From the buyers, provide that information to our vendors, keeping them well informed throughout the whole process, do the right thing. I think it's just going to be great for everyone throughout.
We've got the data available to us, but we don't have a crystal ball. We can't predict exactly what property is worth, and no one will get it. It's not an exact science.
Mm.
So when property goes to market, it's really what the buyers are
prepared to pay for it. And then when you get a buyer that's really emotionally attached to the property, and they really want it, they could pay that price that's totally out of the numbers that you've provided. And it's good luck to the vendor, but it works like that sometimes.
And we've seen incredibly buoyant times in say the last couple of years in Victoria.
Yeah.
So as a consequence, we're seeing more and more auction results exceeding expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the market will change and
always
does. And that's for every high, there's always a bit of a low. So, you know, it will change. So
do you see that happening soon? Or
I think, to be honest, our April statistics show that the growth has actually reduced. So
it's come back a little bit.
It's come back a little bit. So I think it's going to be more of a stable period going forward. And with the banks now increasing some of their interest rates, they haven't had an RBA increase, but they've put their interest rate up. I think that's a sign that it's probably going to
stabilize,
taper a bit. Yeah. And the statistics are showing that. So clearance rates are still holding up, though, notwithstanding that. I mean, we're still high 70s, early 80s. So, you know, that's very good.
Mm. But that's because really stock on market is quite low, too.
It's
as a percentage, we're 20, 30% lower than previous times.
Yes.
So that in itself would result in a higher clearance rate because there's just less stock, more buyers.
Net migration into Melbourne is at peak level. So we're seeing overseas people coming to Melbourne because of job opportunities.
Yeah.
And we're seeing overseas migration into Melbourne as well. So while that demand is still there and the supply, you know, in certain areas is fairly tight, you will see an uplift in price. Mm-hmm. So I think... people have been saying, oh, when's the bubble going to burst? I actually don't think it will, and I don't think we've been in a bubble situation. I think it'll taper off a bit, and then who knows, by spring or towards the end of the year, it might take off again. Who knows?
So thank you for watching today.
And for more information, please go visit our Facebook page or our podcast on the Couch M&M through the iTunes store.
Awesome. And as always, if you like, please leave your comments below on our Facebook page or ask us any questions and we'll be happy to answer. We'll be checking in. Thank you.
Cheers.